or not Genesis, John, I'm sorry, the book of John, chapter number 6. John, chapter number 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's one on the pew rack right there in front of you. Please feel free to grab that. John, chapter number 6, and verse, we're going to get started here, probably in verse 1. John 6. It's an interesting story today that I pray will be a blessing to you. John, chapter number 6. We'll start in verse 5. John 6 and verse 5. I'll start reading the odds, and of course, you'll read the evens out loud. If you found John chapter 6, please say amen. All right, here we go, verse 5. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that none be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come today thankful for the country that we live in, thankful for the freedoms we enjoy, thankful for the Word of God which tells us of the true freedom in Christ. Bless all those that are here today. We pray for those that are watching on the internet today as well, Father, that couldn't be with us. And God, for those I know having surgery tomorrow that are in prep today, God, give them comfort. If there's one among us that's not sure heaven's their home, not sure that if they died, they would wake up in heaven, I pray today would be the day that they realize their need of Christ as their Savior. And for us, your children, God, strengthen us. Build us up. Make us usable. And we'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. We're in our series called You Ask For It. As I've solicited topics or questions that the congregation has had, I've put them into sermons. And we've had a lot of fun with these questions, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. And today's question it comes to me, and it says, Pastor, how can I possibly make a difference? I'm just one person. What does it matter whether I'm faithful or I serve? I'm nothing special. And I get asked this one quite a lot. What does it matter? I'm just one person, and you know, life hasn't gone the way I expected it to go. Does God got any use for someone like me? Can he possibly use me? Am I just a castaway or cast off? Am I broken somehow or dysfunctional? I don't have a lot to offer God, this one person told me. How can God use me? I think the devil's very smart. I know he is. He's very intelligent. He's smarter than I am. And one of the things he likes to do is get us into a state of futility. Like we feel like we can't advance. We can't be used. We can't go forward in life. We're somehow stuck. I remember when Sarah, the car had stalled and I needed to push it and I got behind it. We had a little Mazda pickup truck. This was back when Josh was just first born and I said, baby, I'll push, you steer. Okay. So I got to push it and I got to shove it and she said, well, is the emergency brake supposed to be off? Yeah. And then it started working okay then. Although in her defense, I have driven to work with the emergency brake on, only to smell it once I got there. Anybody else? Huh? Wondering, what's wrong with this car? I bought that cheap gas. That must be the cheap gas. No, you knucklehead. You left the emergency brake on and drove to work anyway. Futility, or that attitude of I can't be useful, I can't be used. Something, I'm always coming to the party late. I'm always understanding things later than everybody else. It, It's just the way the devil gets us kind of bound up. Can I be used? I'm just one person. I don't have a lot to offer God. Things haven't gone my way. I'm not as smart as my colleagues. I'm not as good looking, or I don't have as many prospects. Can God possibly use someone like me? And today's answer is yes, because God delights in small offerings. He really does. In our story today, Jesus has been teaching 5,000 men plus women and children. And they're hungry. They've been listening to him all day. What a concept. Sitting outside, willing to listen to God speak to them directly. And they'd gone all day, and it was getting late, and they were hungry. And it says here in verse number 9, it says, there's a lad here which hath filthy go to verse 7. It says, they said, why don't you give them something to eat? And Philip says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Verse 9, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Sitting in this crowd was a little boy with a sack lunch that his mother had provided. And he'd obviously heard the apostles talking about, how are we going to feed these people? How can we possibly help? And he stepped forward with a little offering of faith and said, well, I'll share my sack lunch. I'll share mine. We see this same story in Matthew 14. I called it, this is the lad's lunch, but in Matthew 14, it was the disciples' dinner. And in Mark 6, you see the same one. You see, I love that phrase, but what are they among so many? I mean, what is this little sack lunch going to do for so many people? The thing you got to understand is God delights in a small offering of faith. He really does. It don't got to be big. It's just got to be genuine. Because it wasn't what the boy gave, it's who the boy gave it to that matters. See, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 1 what faith is. If you've never seen this before, you take your Bible, it's to the right, toward the back of the book. You find the book Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is explained by, they're explaining faith is that you're just going to take God at His word without necessarily having to have physical proof. In verse number 6, it's an imperative. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is what? He is God. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Consequently, your faith doesn't have to be huge because the object of your faith is huge. Your faith don't got to be that big, but the person you're putting your faith in is massive. I used to have a friend named John Alina. John Alina wasn't real tall, but boy, he was built like a rock house as a teenager. Man, that guy was tough and full of the stuff. And as long as I had John with me, I was in good shape. Because why? I didn't have to worry about how good a fighter I was. I knew I had John with me. And John at least take 2 by the head and I'd have the rest. But still, it wasn't that my faith was in me. It was the guy I had my faith in. See, God delights in small offerings of faith. Genuine faith. That's why Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, it's the smallest of all seeds. But when it grows, it becomes a huge tree. He also talks about faith as being childlike faith. Take your Bibles. You're back in John. Go ahead a few pages to Luke. The book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Find the book of Luke and look at verse 18. Now, you've heard people talk about childlike faith. But in Luke 18 and verse 15, it says, and they brought unto him also infants. Look at this. That he would touch them, and that his disciples saw it and they rebuked him. The people wanted them to bless the child. They wanted them to come and speak a blessing on the child. And Jesus called unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Childlike faith is so incredible because it's so perfect. It's so pure. God said it and that settled it. See, kids totally get God. Have you thought about that for a second? Kids totally get God. They get Him. They are cool with the fact that there is somebody they can talk to that has all the answers and owns all the stuff. They just think that's cool. Kids get God because of who their faith is in. It's pure faith. It's perfect faith. It's just a belief in the truth of it. It's us adults, quite honestly, that make it complicated. You know that? It's us that makes it complicated. See, the Bible says that your first act of faith is becoming a child of God. That when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're not putting your faith and trust in you. You're putting your faith and trust in Him and what He did on the cross of Calvary to save you. That's how you become His child. You are born into a relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:1 says, he that believeth Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's why Jesus, when He looked at Nicodemus, said, ye must be born again. He uses that picture of childbirth to explain it. You know, they become our child. And the funny thing is, when I had my first son, I walked out of the operating room because Sarah had him C-section, and I brought him up to my mother and I said, Mama, we got a boy. And she said, no, that boy's got you. Because they're always your kid. No matter how they behave, no matter where they go, no matter what they do, they're always yours. See, and when you become a child of God, it's because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've trusted Him to be your Savior. See, we make it so complicated as adults. If you were to talk to God like a child, it would sound something like this. God, it's me. You're right. I'm a sinner. And I believe You died for me. Won't You please save me? Just something simple. Children get God. We need to be like kids when we trust God too, by the way. You know, one of the great things about my kids is my kids know I'm going to take care of them. My kids don't ask me for a weekly bank statement to make sure I'm taking care of them. They don't go down and check the fridge and go, are you going to shop for me this week? Or no, they know if they ask Dad, they're going to get taken care of. Why? Because we love them. They just know it. They have perfect faith. Children get God. When we were in Arkansas, we had a church there in Sherwood, and you would come down Brockington Road and turn right on JFK Highway, and there was a Little Caesars on the right. And my kids knew when they saw that church at the end of the road, they knew what we were going to pass. And they would begin to pray from the back seat. Pizza. Oh, pizza. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we had pizza? Oh, Daddy, could we get some pizza? And then they would start chanting, pizza, pizza, pizza. And I turn the blinker on and they go, God, no, Dad is great. He gives us pizza, pizza. They get it. They totally get God. They know what it's like. Why do we complicate it? God just wants a small offering of faith. He wants you to take Him at His word. He doesn't expect you to know everything. He doesn't expect you to be able to move mountains. He just said, if you had real faith, if you just had that little bit, it'll grow. As you get to know Him, as you spend time with Him, you'll trust Him for more, but it starts little. And it's okay. You say, well, I don't have the kind of faith it takes to move mountains. That's fine. How about you just take Him at His word and let Him worry about the mountain? See, it's not about how big your faith is. It's about how big the person your faith is in. God delights in small offerings of faith. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16. We were in 2 Chronicles this morning in Sunday school, and I'm telling you, Sunday school is such a blessing. If you haven't visited, you need to come. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Listen to what the Bible has to say. God is just waiting for an opportunity to prove Himself to you. Well, I don't know Him. I don't know anything about this faith stuff. Let me tell you something. God wants to show how real He really is to you. He wants to show you how real He is. Look at verse 9 of chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Why don't you just take God at His word and ask and watch and see what He does? Let God prove Himself. Ask God to make Himself real to you. God will take care of you. Why? Because God delights in small offerings of faith. but I'm nobody, preacher. My life didn't go the way it was supposed to go. I had it all mapped out and it didn't go that way. And now I feel like I should be here in life. I've got friends that are farther along in life. I've got friends that have got the things I wanted. Can God actually use somebody? Yes, why? Because God delights in just a small offering. That little boy offered all he had. He didn't just offer me lunch. He offered his whole lunch to him. Take a look. John 16 and verse 9. Go back to our text verse where we started. John chapter 16 and verse 9. It says in John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 9, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. People say, well, you know, preacher, listen, if I win the Powerball, yeah, or if I win the lottery, preacher, if I can win the pick 5, listen, preacher, trust me, the church is going to have all kinds of money as soon as I win the, listen, if you can't trust God with what little you've got, you're not going to do it when you have lots. You're not responsible for the gifts and things you don't possess. See, the boy saw a need and he gave what he had because God also delights in small offerings of love. See, love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice we make that we're going to love someone and we're going to commit ourselves to someone. And this little boy stood up and didn't give him just what he had. He gave him all he had. He did what he could. That's why I love that verse. But what are these among so many? Well, he did what he could. There's another story in the Bible like this. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14 and verse 3. Look at it now. Mark 14 and verse 3. There's another little story like this that's documented in Scripture. It says in Mark 14 and verse number 3, and being in the house of, in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there was a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. This is her showing honor to Jesus Christ. She walks up behind him while he's at dinner, and she takes this box of ointment and breaks it and pours it upon his head. And it says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was the waste of this ointment made? For it may have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. No, that little boy couldn't have fed all 5,000 men and all their wives and their kids. But he offered what he had. He didn't worry about what he didn't have. He offered what he had. This woman came into Christ, a woman of ill repute, and she came into this house sitting amongst all these different nobles and whatever, and they're feeding Christ. And she had a box of ointment. And she came and honored him with it because it's what she had. She didn't try to work with what she didn't have. She gave what she had. Because of who Jesus is, she gave it to him. She used it upon him. It's interesting. She knew who he was. She knew what he was going to do. It says here in this verse in Mark 14, it says, for she hath anointed my body for the burial. Do you see that? To anoint my body. She knew he was coming to die in our place. Do you realize that's what Jesus did? Jesus didn't come to set up a utopia. He didn't come here to fix our economy. He didn't come here to fix ignorance academically. He came here to take people from spiritual darkness to spiritual light, from death to life. He was here to give his life for them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. That means he displayed it openly. Commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, he took our place. This woman knew what he was coming to do. I want to just be a part of your plan. So just like the little boy, she didn't worry about what she didn't have. She didn't worry about what her life wanted to be like. She brought what she had because God delights in small offerings of love. She probably said, you know, I want to be a part of the plan. I don't like that you have to die for me. I don't like that my sin is going to send you to the cross. I don't like the fact that it's my fault you're having to take my place. I don't like it. But I will give what I have. I will do what I can. And Jesus said, she has done what she could. Have you done what you can? Anybody can believe on Jesus Christ. You know, he didn't come for perfect people. He came for sinful people like me. No, he didn't get a bargain when he got us. But if you'll give him what you got, if you'll give him your heart, that's all he wants. Because Jesus don't want your stuff. He wants you. Have you done what you could? After you got saved, are you doing what you can for Christ? See, it is Christ's mission that people come to Christ and be saved. But he uses other people to take that message to people. Are you doing what you can? If you communicate at all, you're able to communicate the gospel. Are you doing what you can? Is this going to be your testimony? Hey, they have done what they could. They took what they had and they gave it to me. We had a man in our church in Arkansas named Ron Hall. Ron was a retired Korean vet and from the Army. And Ron had gotten into some chemicals or something in his military career and had messed him up. And Ron had a hard time keeping his thoughts. He'd get talking and he just couldn't finish a sentence most of the time. But Ron Hall would get up on every Tuesday morning and get a stack of tracks. He'd get on the public transit bus in Little Rock and he would ride that bus all day and hand out tracts. Eat his lunch on the bus, and as people would get on and off that bus, Ron Hall would say, here, I want to give you something, here, I want to give you something, here, I want to give you something. In the 6 years I was there, I can't say that anybody ever visited our church, but you know, Ron Hall said something so profound. He said to me, preacher, a feeble attempt is better than no attempt. And that's how Ron Hall lived his life. Just every week, he'd go out, and instead of knocking on doors, instead of going to them, he would sit on the bus and let people come to him. And he'd hand out the gospel, hand out the gospel. Can you do that? Have you done what you could? Yes, of course you can do it. Why? Because God delights in small offerings of love. He also delights in small offerings of devotion. Go back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 9. Then said Jesus unto them, I'm in Luke. That's a good message, but that's the wrong chapter. John 6. John 6 and verse 9. Look what the Bible says. There's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus, verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Wherefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. You know, God delights in a small offering of faith, a small offering of love, but even more so, a small offering of devotion. As I said earlier, that young man didn't just give Jesus what he had. He gave Jesus all he had. There's another story like this in the Bible of someone doing the same thing. You find it in Luke chapter 21. If you'll take your Bible and turn back a few pages to Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 1. And he looked up and saw rich men. Look at this. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they. For all these of their abundance cast in unto their offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. See, it's not about equal giving. Who am I, preacher? I can't give to the church like others can. I can't give of myself. I'm not talented. I'm not smart. I don't do anything special. Yeah, but she didn't worry about what she didn't have. She gave Jesus all she had. Because her faith was not in her. Her faith was not in those two pennies. Her faith was in the one that she gave it to. That's where our faith needs to be. You don't know what God can do with you. You don't know what greatness lies within you for God's glory if you just hold it back. So he gave what he had. He gave all he had. Well, how is a person able to do this? How is a person able to step forward in faith, love, and devotion like this little boy or this woman with this alabaster box of ointment or this widow who gave all that she had left? Well, because they gave their own selves to God first. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, listen to what the Bible says. Paul wrote this. It was so awesome. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. I want you to focus on what God is doing, is what he's saying in verse 1. About the churches in Macedonia. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Meaning, these churches in Macedonia are dead broke, and they're under such persecution, yet because they gave of themselves first, that's what it's saying. Look what it says. It says in verse 5, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. How is it that the little boy could give what he had? How is it the woman could give what she could do? And how is it that the widow could give all that she had? It was because they had given themselves to Jesus Christ first. They didn't just try to buy him off and make him happy with their stuff. He said, no, you can have me. Oh, and by the way, anything I got's yours too. So, because they gave themselves first. See, because Jesus don't want your stuff. He wants you. Stuff comes and goes. If you're watching Craigslist, people are dumping stuff all the time. It's crazy. Wealth can be won and lost. But in Mark 12, the widow just gave everything she had. God had her heart. And you know what's neat? It's 2,000 years later, she's still being talked about. It wasn't because of two pennies. Because it would have been the same amount if she'd have gave 2 million, because it was going to be all she had. She didn't have any left over. She gave her whole self to God and said, I'm yours. The lad gave all he had without reservation. But what are these among so many? The disciples thought to themselves, oh, how cute. A little boy with his sack lunch. How cute. But the boy knew who he was giving it to. So Jesus, if you go back to John 6 and verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. So Jesus received the loaves, and then he blessed them. He took that little offering of faith, love, and devotion, and said, I'll take it, and then I'll bless it. Then you know what he did next? He broke it. He blessed it, and then he broke it. Look at verse 11. He distributed. He broke it up and distributed it. And then he boosted it. Look at verse 12. And when they were filled, they said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments. Verse 13, and they filled 12 baskets. One offering, many were supplied. Our offerings, listen, our offerings are not too small. It's just our love sometimes grows weak. See, you all have different talents that you can give. You have the same amount of time in a week that everybody else has. Do you realize your time is no more or less precious than the president's time? You get the same 168 hours a week that he does. Your devotion to God is no less important to God than the Apostle Paul's, or Peter's, or Abraham's, or Moses's, because you serve the same God. And you go to heaven the same way they do, by trusting Christ as your Savior. You're born into a relationship with him. You are every bit as important to God as they were. 2,000 years later, we're still hearing about that widow who we won't know her name till we get to heaven. 2,000 years later, her offering is still challenging us. See, God delights in small offerings of faith. God delights in small offerings of love. And He delights in small offerings of devotion. But He also delights in small offerings of hope. You know, this little boy in John 6 was not guaranteed he'd eat. He wasn't guaranteed he'd get anything for this. He just knew what Christ was promising. He knew what Christ, who He was. And he gave what he had. He gave all he had. Quite honestly, I think those 12 apostles had to gather up a basket apiece and then follow that little boy home. Isn't that a neat way to teach your disciples? Isn't that? Because that little boy couldn't carry 12 baskets of bread and fish. I'll bet you he said, okay, boys, now follow that little guy home. He gave me what he had. He gave me all he had. And he gave it without reservation. He gave me a small offering of faith, a small offering of love, a small offering of devotion, and a small offering of hope, because he wasn't promised he would get anything in return. So why do we hold back? Why do we withhold our love and our faith and our devotion? Why do we do that? I think it's because our faith and our love and our hope is in the wrong thing. It's in us. It's in our career. It's in our savings account. It's in our portfolio. See, it's not how big your faith is. It's who is your faith in? Because if the person your faith is in is massive, like God Himself, you know, is God, then it's okay. Do you realize that you can have a whole string of zeros and they equal zero? Nothing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. But you put a one in there, now you got value. So a whole room full of zeros. That's how, I don't think anybody got up this morning, looked in the mirror and went, ha-ha, zero defects. You know what I'm saying? I don't think any of us did that. Did you do that? Did you do that? No, none of us got up and went, ha-ha, looking good, baby. Yeah, I got it all. No, we kind of just went, man, I need to cover this up. And man, I pluck out that. I get these eyebrows that grow out of my face like barbed wire. My wife will get on there and crank on them and yank them out. None of us got up this morning and went, looking better every day. We don't think that highly of ourselves. But we forget that our faith is not in us. Our faith is in the one that made everything. Our faith needs to be like a child and be in God, who is so big He's outside of this universe. You know, well, I need to understand, all right, then I'm going to, spoiler alert, any God that'll fit in a 3-pound brain isn't God at all. If you can wrap your noodle around God, he's not God. He's bigger than we are. The person who made your cell phone is bigger than that. He doesn't reside inside it changing ones and zeros. He's outside it. He's grander. He's greater. He's more glorious. Why is your faith in something you can see and put in your hand? Why isn't your faith in the one who made everything? Why do we hold back? It's because the devil has got us focusing on what we see in the mirror. That's why. God has us focusing on the image in the mirror and saying, you're not worthy. You're not worth His time. You're not worth His blessing. And He's right, by the way. I'm not worthy of anything God would do for me. But thank God He promised He would. Thank God He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He will meet all my needs by His riches and glory. These are the promises He made. I'm not worthy. You know, the devil is so smart, he uses the truth to lie to us. What's your faith in today? Aren't you glad God delights in the small offerings? You know, Sarah doesn't like it when I buy her flowers. She doesn't like it when I buy her flowers because they fade and they die. But I like to buy her things. I like to give my wife things. Because in giving her things, they're like symbols of my love. But the truth is, she already knows she has me. That's the joy of marriage. She doesn't have to buy me things to show me that I have her. I already have her. God already, all He wants is your heart. He doesn't want your stuff. Do you understand? He likes the small offering of faith. Just that small offering of love. That small offering of devotion. And that small offering of hope. It's not symbolized by a monetary value. It's the sacrifice of giving it and the attitude in which you give it. Are you ready to give God what you have? Just you ready to give yourself to Him? You ready to give it all to Him? Just you, just giving yourself. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. That's the answer to the question, can God use me? Does God want the broken me? Yeah. He wasn't expecting perfection. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God wasn't expecting perfection. It actually says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came not to call the righteous to repent, but the sinners to repentance. I'm going to pray. This is the invitation time of our service. You may not be familiar with this, but at the end of our service, what we do is we give you an opportunity to respond to God's Word. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe today I've talked about knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Knowing 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die. You can settle that today and know that you'll be saved and never lose it. You can know that today. Christian, you're here, you're saved, you know it, but you don't think you're worthy and the devil's got you in a funk to where you just feel futile. The futility of life. Listen. If you'll give what you have, which is you, if you'll give yourself to the Lord, there is no telling what He can do with it because your faith is in Him. Our Heavenly Father, we love You, and on this day, we remember the sacrifice of those who's given it all, who lie within acres of stone because they gave their lives for our freedom. We're thankful that they answered the call. But yea, some 6,500 years ago, as You had thought of creating the world and the universe and mankind, there was a call made. Who would die for Your creation? And Jesus stepped forward. I'm thankful for Jesus today and His willingness to give His life for mine and for all those who would call upon Him. Speak to every heart and every soul here today, God. Release them from the sin that binds them. Release them from the flesh that just ensnares and the sin that holds them back. Won't You, God, please, as they give themselves to You right now in prayer, Father, will You release them? Will You bless them in Jesus' name? The altar's open, brothers and sisters. Won't You come? Won't You give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ today? You're saved and you know it, but have you been baptized by immersion? Won't you come? Won't you make it?
Of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Come, how about you? Come on. If you died today, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? Have you given your heart to Christ and said, I believe, I know I'm lost, please save me? Have you done that? Come. Your faith is not in you. Your faith is in the One that promises to save. Christians, you found a place to live when you moved here. You found a job. Maybe you found a dentist, a barber, but have you found a church home yet? Won't you come and join? Come be a part of the family. Won't you come? On Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says that those that had heard His word, that had gotten saved that day, had come and were baptized. And they were added unto the church that day. Acts 2:41. Won't you come and join? say, this is it. I'm going to serve here. I'm going to be a part of this body. I'm going to give what I got to the Lord and let Him do with it as He pleases. Won't you come?
Had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand, in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
There's still time for y'all. Still time. Listen, if you've not joined, we'd love to have you as a member of the family. Come on and join.
He washed.
Make it a home. There's still time for you. Won't you come?
Up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
Our Father and our God, we love You, and we ask, Father, that You would bless, as only You can, these fine people. And Father, the families they represent and those that have they've gone through the struggles of providing freedom by supporting their family that are in harm's way. God bless them as well. And Father, today as we go from this place, Father, that You would allow us the opportunity to be usable. Like this dear lady in our story today, to just do what we can, what we have, giving it freely out of love and devotion to You. Father, that You would do something great. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.